third week of Easter, Friday. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he should find any men or women who belong to the way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. On his journey, as he was nearing Damascus, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, sir?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, for they heard the voice, but could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was unable to see, and he neither ate nor drank. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is there praying, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him, that he might regain his sight." But Ananias replied, "Lord, I have heard from many sources about this man, what evil things he has done to your holy ones in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to imprison all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel, and I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, "Saul, my brother, the Lord has sent me. Jesus, who appeared to you on the way by which you came, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, things like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. He got up and was baptized, and when he had eaten, he recovered his strength. He stayed some days with the disciples in Damascus, and he began at once to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Dear family, this is the amazing experience of Saul encountering Jesus and his conversion. Now, notice that he is the same Saul who had been an accomplice to the murder of St. Stephen, and now we hear that he is still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord. So no wonder Ananias was concerned. But Ananias did not reject what the Lord was saying. He, like Mary, is asking further clarification. How do I deal with this? Because Saul, as far as he knew, was a deadly enemy, and Saul is a threat not only to Ananias, but to the rest of the Christian community there. But Ananias is open, and the Lord explains to him what he must do and what has happened, and he believes. Perhaps you have someone in your life who has betrayed you, who has opposed you, maybe as far as hated you. Well, be open like Ananias to receive the word of God, because God wants to reach everyone. And you may have to be the instrument, like Ananias, to reach that person. Are we ready? Are we willing? Or have we just said, no, that cannot possibly happen? That's the challenge. Now, when Saul is approaching Damascus, he is surrounded by this powerful light, which is the presence of Christ. He sees actually Christ, and Christ speaks to him. The effect was so powerful that Saul falls to the ground. And when he asks, "Who are you, sir?" Jesus very clearly says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And here we see a profound unity between Jesus the head and his body, the church, the Christians. So when we persecute a Christian, we're persecuting Christ himself. Saul never forgot this. And later on, he developed this understanding in his theology of the body of Christ. We receive Jesus, we become one with him, his body. And as we do, then we must do as Saul did when he became Paul, and like Ananias did. We have to be open and attentive to the Lord to guide us to do things that are entirely surprising to us, that we would never do by our own human logic. So Saul becomes Paul and becomes the great apostle. And there's a beautiful word here, brother. Ananias now says, "Saul, my brother, the Lord has sent me. Jesus, who appeared to you on the way by which you came, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And so Ananias becomes the instrument. He is the representative of the church. So notice that Jesus sovereignly comes to Saul, but he actually brings him into the church through the church and through the baptism that Ananias imparts on him. Now he becomes part of the community. He's received by the church. And lo and behold, now he goes, and immediately he becomes a man to evangelize others. And he goes to the synagogue. Now imagine the shock and the surprise also of those Jews in the synagogue who knew he was coming with letters to imprison Christians. And instead now he is proclaiming that indeed Jesus is the Messiah. So St. Paul was ready to enter into deep controversy, into deep conflict, and risk his life over and over again for the sake of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Jesus wants no less from us. He's calling us. He's giving us the Holy Spirit, but we have to break through our closed mindset, our fear, and allow the Spirit to work in us. The gospel is John 6, 52 to 59. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. My dear family, immediately a Jew understands that Jesus is building upon the manna that God gave through Moses while they were in the desert. This miraculous bread that sustained them for years through the desert. And now Jesus is saying that he is the bread of life. He is going to give his own body to eat, his own flesh, and his own blood to drink. And one may ask, how can Jesus expect anybody to believe this? Well, they had a grounds to believe, first because he's working on what the Father had done in the whole teaching of the manna, but also because Jesus had just taken 5 loaves of bread and the fish and had multiplied them and fed a whole multitude. And like that, he had done many other miracles right in front of them. And so they now should know that he has authority over nature, authority over the elements. And so he's not asking them something without first preparing him through authentic signs that he's giving them. Now think of the love of Jesus to want to give himself so intimately to us, so that we truly become one, so much one that then later he can say to St. Paul, like in the first reading, why are you persecuting me? Because those who are Eucharistically united with me are one with me. They are my body. They're truly one with me. This is how intimate this union is. So think about that when you go to the Eucharist, how the Lord suffered greatly all this rejection, all this abuse, all the murmuring, in order to give himself to you and to me in the Eucharist. And now, 2,000 years later, how do we receive him? One day in our community, the Lord told us, you know why everybody who receives me is not totally transformed into my presence, into my power, and does not have the power of the Holy Spirit? And he said, because you kidnapped me. And we said, how, Lord, do we kidnap you? And he said, yes, you receive me. I'm truly present in you, but you don't let me speak. You don't allow me to act. You have me like in a dungeon, bound hand and feet, and you have me gagged. I cannot speak. And so, yes, I'm in you, but you don't let me act. So I beg you, when you receive Jesus, be attentive to the word that you receive at the Mass and allow it to move you, to move you beyond your restrictions of your minds, and believe that God is God, that he's alive, that he's taking you to a new horizon, a new understanding of things Jesus truly present in the Eucharist.